Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, thank you, Tyler, JR, Hoodie, and I will be together again on Monday. I'm here tomorrow. Hoodie has the day off, but on the show tomorrow, Jed Hoyer, Cubs president of baseball operations, and we'll have Dan Wiederer and Meller's fantasy moment and potentially Howard Griffith. So we'll have a lot going on the show tomorrow. So looking forward, get you all set for Bears-Packers.
Crosstalk is brought to you by
Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne app. Watch, wager on the races, and do it safe from the Club Hawthorne app. Go to clubhawthorneapp.com.
Carm and Yurko. Bop, 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 bop.
Hello, gentlemen. How we doing?
Great. What's up,
buenos dias.
Hoodie was firing on Karen's cooking. I don't know why.
Not Karen's cooking. No,
I don't think that's true.
No, you know, we're friends. I was at the wedding. You know, I was at the wedding. I told you that. It was Carm had the best wedding. I tell you what, anytime that you can get Pelico from the Blackhawks to play on the organ,
that's pretty cool.
You know, you got to have some clout for that one. Yeah, you get Frank up there in the rafters. That's, you know.
They come down the aisle, Chicago.
Let's go, Hawks. Let's go, Hawks.
That's great.
So, Carm, if you had the number one pick in the Thanksgiving food draft, what are you choosing?
Well, it's a good question. I've got a little bit of a sweet tooth that terrorizes me, and I got to work awfully hard to sort of not eat sweets all day. But for me, it would be a dessert. It would be probably a sweet potato pie. I am a sucker for sweet potato pie or pecan pie. One of the two. They're like my two favorite pies. They're very autumnal. They're perfect this time of year. And I will be making my world-famous sweet potato pie tomorrow night for Thanksgiving on Thursday. So that'd probably be my number one choice, sweet potato pie or pecan pie.
Yerk, you're on the clock.
I'd go with old-school stuffing, but it's got to have, turkey neck meat and gizzards and the innards, all the good stuff that belongs in there. It's got to have it. If it doesn't have it, then it's really not stuffing. If it comes out of a box, it's not stuffing.
No, I agree with Yerko on that.
Yeah, it's got to have some kind of flavor. Just be the basic stovetop you get out of the Jewels. Yeah.
Sylvie had the best line. He texted us when he heard my meal that I put together. He said, "You're just like your friend Ryan Pace. You could have got every one of those guys undrafted."
Yeah, I mean, really. And you got it wrong. It's like you're passing Mahomes. If you pass on the stuffing or you pass on the sweet potato pie or the homemade cranberry sauce, you're passing on Patrick Mahomes. You're drafting. You're trading up for Mitch Trubisky. You're trading up for corn niblets.
My man had Bloody Mary, New York steak, cherry pie, gravy. What else did you have there?
But then I turned the fourth-round pick of gravy into a second and a fifth. So Tyler gets his gravy, but I then was able to select niblet corn and four berry Michigan pie to go with my cherry pie.
All right, now that one's good.
There's no nutrition, though. I'll give you four berry.
Well, because it's Thanksgiving. You're supposed to be gluttonous anyway. We don't have to worry about Thanksgiving. We don't have to worry about nutrition on Thanksgiving.
Correct.
But I mean, I'll give you the four berry pie. Not bad. Corn niblets.
Yes. What are you eating? Corn on the cob?
Well, I'd rather have corn on the cob. Corn niblet. You mean like out of a microwave package? Out of
can, kid. Out of a can.
No, not out of the can. You take the Green corn giant on the cob and you shave the sides of it so you get all the niblets. Then you take that, drop it onto the mashed potatoes with the thick gravy over the top. It's literally
Ryan Pace.
Heaven.
You're trading up for Mitch Trubisky. That's what you're doing with the corn.
Congratulations.
That's terrible. I'm with Hoodie. I'd rather just go straight corn on the cob. I mean, something tells me at the first Thanksgiving dinner, the Pilgrims and the Native Americans, somebody slapped together some corn on the cob. I guarantee you there was a piece of corn on the cob on that table. That was in the Horn of Plenty, let me tell you right now.
You didn't see any of the bayonets coming out and shaving their corn for niblets. Come on now.
I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, it just shows you that Cap is, you know, an everyman when he takes also a shrimp cocktail and a baked potato. Now, the baked potato, understand, shrimp cocktail. That's never what the Pilgrims felt. That's what they fought for. Shrimp cocktail.
Can you imagine?
They didn't land in Louisiana, kid.
Come to our table. We're going to have some shrimp cocktail with some homemade cocktail sauce.
Yeah, my wife texted me like, are you out of your mind? Like, God, she makes turkey and stuffing and all that
delicious
stuff.
You know,
all
like stuff. You know, like Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Right, Thanksgiving dinner.
The normal
exactly
stuff.
Not the 4th of July.
Horn of plenty.
Even if you don't like turkey, and I get it, turkey's a little boring. It can be a little dry. I mean, but even if you don't really like turkey.
I don't like turkey.
There's one time a year you make a turkey, and it's Thanksgiving.
It's the only time, yeah.
That's it. It's the one time you go to the store, you buy a big turkey, and you make it. It's Thanksgiving.
Now, this year, you know, because we don't have the family around, we're condensing. We're going turkey breast this year.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that, like like bone-on turkey breast. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you're not feeding 20 people. I mean, you know, you got to conserve. You're right.
Yeah, I am just not a turkey guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, that's fine.
But
the idea of that shrimp cocktail is even making the list on a Thanksgiving.
Yes.
God.
You put that out as an appetizer, I assume, right?
Yes,
you
just correct.
Kind of, all right.
No,
correct.
It's a main course.
Main course.
It's right next to the New York Strip.
Pretty close.
It's great. I can save you the time. Order from Outback.
There you go. Get a Bloomin' Onion and a strip steak.
Hello, Chicago Cut. Yeah, David Flom. Yeah, I'd like to order a New York Strip, a shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Awful. Interesting meaning awful.
Yeah.
So there you go.
The two pies are just...
The pies are good. I'll give you that. But Thanksgiving is definitely a pie holiday. You're right. Like some sort of a fruit pie or, I love the sweet potato pie. I think that's the best. With homemade whipped cream on top. Oh, my God.
The homemade whipped cream part, but everything else.
What's wrong
good
with that? What's wrong with that?
Oh, you got to do the homemade whipped cream. What, you do it out of a can? Come on. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
No, you got to make homemade.
I buy a sugar-free... heavy whipping cream, whipped cream, and it's delicious.
Yeah, I make it at home.
Yeah. I think you better have Zetterman read that can.
Yeah.
Not sure if that's healthy.
Yeah,
all right, boys,
my
dilemma is that the ex-roommate has the kids for this Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be spending this Thanksgiving at home by myself with the some wild turkey varieties.
Oh.
Wild Turkey 101.
Yes.
Nice.
The rare breed.
Yes. Russell's
Select.
Our Russell's Reserve.
So I'll be drowning my sorrows here alone on Thanksgiving.
Hey, I'll be alone too. My wife's going to see her dad, or sister. Yeah. You can come on out to my casa. I'll cook us some steaks.
Can't do it.
Oh, there you
can't
go.
Can't do it, kid. Steaks. Can't do it. Governor Pritzker says no. So I'll be here with my wild turkey, my rare breed, and all my selects.
I didn't see that in the latest press conference. Did he specifically call you out?
Yeah, he said Yurko's not allowed to cross state lines.
I think he said that. He says, Yurk, you're banished. You're in Indiana. That's where you're going to stay.
There's one guy.
Take
Yurko.
That.
Yurko, stay home. But that's
Flintstone said no.
But right. My mom is leaving me my stuffing up she's going to deliver it, hand deliver it right there on the front stoop.
Nice. So you got
I'll
your
be able
stuffing
to go out there after she clears, you know, and I fumigate the front stoop.
You'll have
then
your
I'll be
wild
able to
turkey
go get my stuff.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful. It'll be beautiful.
I'm going to be eating that pie while I'm chasing in game three.
Be careful.
No question.
Chasing in game
three. And
be careful the way you say eating pie, man. Ooh, I tell you, apple pie, cherry pie, all the best ones, man.
There you go.
And high.
I'm not a huge apple pie guy. It's okay. I don't dislike it. I'll eat it.
Yeah, I'll eat it. But
it's I'm going cherry pie and Michigan fourberry. Or a blueberry pie is really good.
Man, yes. I love that selection. What's that like in the back of the limo with the tinted glasses? It's really amazing. I mean,
how about some boysenberry?
I mean, he's
going to be a hard pass.
My partner, Cap, is really the everyman, isn't it? I mean, there's a guy there. That's part of the grassroots of America right
here. The Michigan fourberry.
Oh, yeah, because that's common. That's at every local store, you know.
The best pie I ever had was in Louisville.
Sure it was.
Toll House pie.
Oh, yeah. Here
it sounds
again.
Good.
I would consider going back there just for that. It was so good.
Toll House pie.
Nestle Toll House?
Yeah, it's like a, And now I get it at this place called Food Stuff. That it's in Glenview and Glencoe. I just ordered one right now for Friday.
Yeah.
It's a chocolate cookie, like pie. It's unbelievable.
Okay, hold on a second.
Slap some ice cream on that. Oh,
I know
God,
exactly where that is on Waukegan Road.
Right, yeah.
I am going to go by there on my way home and see if I can buy the one they're making for you.
It's not ready till Friday, champ. So
I'm going to go in there and see if they have one today. That sounds amazing.
Just to not even eat. Are you going to actually eat it, though?
Yeah, I'll eat a little of it. Absolutely. Right. Thursday?
Good. They sell slices, too, Cap, I think. So you could probably get a slice.
That's all
the
I
number,
need.
The number one pie of all time is French silk pie.
Yeah.
Everything else pales in comparison.
That's all, a no-shot. Fruit pie is number one.
It's on top. That's it. French silk, chocolate shaving. It's all you need.
It is amazing.
If you never had another pie in the world, you'd be okay.
It's delicious, but it's second to fruit
pies. The best.
Yeah, hard.
It would be second to fruit pies, because if there were five fruit pies that you liked, it would then be sixth. So, boom. Number one, French silk pie.
Like, you can go. There's tons of great craft pie places, I guess you'd say, right? Like, they've popped up everywhere. Like, these small local bakeries that just specialize in pies now, and that's awesome because they're delicious. But Yurko's right. There's something about, like, the old poppin' fresh French silk pie, mass-produced, that is still... like the greatest chocolate pie, the greatest pie ever. Mm. And I don't know what it's crazy, like how good that thing is. Maybe it's just something like it registers from our youth when you're a kid and you have that for the first time. You're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Would any of you turkey eaters put ketchup on your turkey?
No, that's disgusting.
Absolutely not.
That's disgusting.
Hoodie?
No.
Patrick Mahomes yesterday doing his weekly radio show. I put ketchup on the turkey, on the ham. Absolutely.
That's how you know he's not perfect. That's how
that's exactly. I don't want him as my quarterback anymore. Forget it. That's just that's a travesty.
Now you know he's human. You know?
He is human after all, really. Yep.
Ketchup on it all.
And because he plays with Kansas City, I'm sure the ketchup is Hunt's.
I bet you it is.
Very good.
Yes, I'm sure it's
Hunt's. They don't go with that Heinz. They go with Hunt's.
Roethlisberger uses the Heinz.
He does. Yeah. So does Chase Claypool. But the rest of them use Hunt's.
That is it.
So are we? How would you do, Yurk? Did you do anything on that Monday night game, gambling-wise?
Well, I think I had the Rams plus the points, and that was the final of the Yurko's 13, where I finished 6-7.
Yeah,
I went 6-7 and felt like a complete failure. You know, and if you have a week like that, you could live with that. You could live with a 6-7 week if you're a gambler, you know.
Yeah.
But not happy. Misread a lot of things. Green Bay fumbling kind of killed me a little bit. Things happen. Things happen when you gamble. You got to expect the unexpected.
That's right.
That's it. All right. What do you guys have on the show?
We have Jeff Dickerson. We've got Jeff Meller for his weekly fantasy hit with us, the Waiver Watch, where he's going to tell you what to look for as the waiver wires in Fantasy Open today, week 12. We're getting into crunch time here for fantasy leagues, playoffs around the corner. So Meller's going to update everybody on that. Yurko's going to take us through the art of the audible. We'll talk Bears, you know, all the fun stuff, gentlemen, with just 2 days to go before Thanksgiving.
All right, tomorrow, hoodies off. I'll be here. Jed Hoyer, Catherine Tappan just confirmed. She's coming on. She's the sideline reporter on Sunday Night Football because Michaels and Collinsworth are off. It's Tirico, Dungy, and Tappan. So she'll be on tomorrow. And Dan Wiederer and Meller's Fantasy Moment. A lot to do tomorrow.
Happy Thanksgiving, Hoodie.
All right. You guys have a great show. Right. Waddle Sylvie at 2. Don't forget Greeny at noon. And Black and Abdallah at 6 o'clock. Have a great day.
All
see
right.
ya.
See ya.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
A little snow out there this morning, Yurk. A little slushy snow. It's finally falling, but luckily it stopped nice and early, and it's not too bad. Tis the season. A couple days away from Thanksgiving. We'll have some fun today and tomorrow, as we always do. Yurk and I always like to do Ask Us Anything the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so we'll line that up for tomorrow.
Right.
Normally, Yurko drives that show, but it might be...
Not tomorrow.
Yeah, probably not tomorrow. Things are still kind of discombobulated with COVID and us being in separate places and all that nonsense. So maybe we can be together before Christmas and we'll save it for that day, Yurk. But we'll have our normal fun.
We've got our Adam Sandler song.
Oh, yeah. We'll have the Thanksgiving song tomorrow. You know, it was a year ago tomorrow that we were at Bub City Rosemont with the big Turkey and Turkey, the release of our first wild turkey Russell's Reserve pick that we did in conjunction with Bub City. That was a year ago. I wish so badly that we could be back there again this year, but obviously that's not going to happen. Hopefully
no can
for 2021.
Do, Carl.
Yeah,
no yeah,
hopefully
can do.
A year from now. But, you know, our second release did come out this fall, so you can still swing by Bub City Rosemont or Bub City Downtown in the city in River North, and there are still some bottles left. I don't think there are many left, but there are still a few bottles left of the delicious 10-year Russell's Reserve pick that we did back in the spring with Wild Turkey. So, yeah, Turkey and Turkey. Good call, Yerk. Have your Wild Turkey for your Thanksgiving. 101, Rare Breed, Kentucky Spirit, Russell's Reserve. That's how you have some fun on Thanksgiving.
That's a good time, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, anytime you want to find answers to life, you find them at the bottom of the bottle. That's what I always say.
I don't know about that, Yerk.
Well, I mean, it's not for everyone.
No.
Not for everyone. I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
You know, you do all those health things. Like, Danny's got his armchair nutritionist.
Yeah, by the way, right? I tell you, he's got a cult following, man. He is so popular amongst the you know, people who take their health and fitness very seriously.
Right.
It's incredible.
You know, and you've got a bunch of different guys that, you know, got their own niches when it comes to nutrition and that. Nobody's serving those that don't get to work the liver enough, I think. I think I'm going to find my niche there, Carm.
There's your niche.
I mean, you've got Whiskey Wednesday. I'm going to wake up in the morning early and have myself a nice glass of Wild Turkey.
Yes.
I'm going to sit there and I'm going to put on video and I say, for those of us out there that are all alone this Thanksgiving season because of COVID and all types of restrictions, let's have ourselves a nice bottle of Wild Turkey today and
happy
celebrate Thanksgiving. Yeah.
There's three
be
football games.
Be hammered by noon, miss the football games, wake up for the night one, start all over again. I think that's going to be fun.
The night one is the one you want to watch anyway. I mean, Texans, Lions into Washington, Dallas, which I guess could be kind of good just for the sheer sort of like intrigue of the dumpster fire that is the NFC East. You got to admit, when we say things are a dumpster fire, if you were walking down the street and you happen to see in the alley a dumpster on fire, you would stop and look at the dumpster on fire.
Of course you would.
I mean, you would. So I guess there's like something to be said for that game being slightly compelling, the Alex Smith story and all that. There's really nothing compelling other than maybe Deshaun Watson about the first game. So you might have the perfect approach to Thanksgiving. Get liquored up by noon, pass out, and then rally in time to watch the nightcap, which is Ravens and Steelers. I think you just hit it out of the park here.
I'm here for you, man. I am here for you. Listen, I'm going to give the ideas to those that don't have ideas.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Well, a lot of people out there got bright minds and this and that, and they've got a thousand different things happening all the time. I'm here for those that don't think well. I'm here for those that don't have options. Me and you. Celebrating, kid. We're going to have a good time.
Yes, we certainly will. JD's going to join us a little bit later today, about an hour from now, hour and 10 minutes from now. We'll talk to Jeff Dickerson. Midway Jeff Meller, our fantasy guru and one of our producers, is going to give you the waiver watch, as he always does on Tuesdays, as the waiver wires across fantasy football leagues open. Week 11 finished last night with the Bucs losing at home to the Rams, and Tom Brady not playing a particularly good football game. He's normally been so good on Monday nights. I think he had won 10 of his last 13 Monday night games going into last night, but didn't look too sharp and really threw two bad interceptions. It's not always on the quarterback. I thought both of them last night were on the quarterback. I mean, pressure is the enemy to every quarterback.
Exactly.
Tom Brady and everybody else. And that Rams defense has played well, and they generated a lot of pressure. So I get all that, Yerk. I mean, it forces even the greatest quarterbacks to rush throws and maybe not see the right thing on the field. But both those throws were bad. They were bad. Not only were the throws bad, they were just bad reads. It's like, what is Tom Brady doing there? But I guess that's what pressure does even to the greatest quarterbacks.
Yeah, most boxers don't flinch until they get punched in the face. Then all of a sudden they start to flinch a little bit. Those feet aren't happy until you start getting pounded. And the next thing you know, the clock is going on in the mind. 1001, 1002, duck. You know, you have that in your mind. You can't help it. It's human nature. You get punched in the mouth enough times, you start to think about it. So, and doesn't matter how good of a quarterback you are, once the protection breaks down, then that's it. Now you've got that internal clock going and you're just trying to make things happen before you know you're going to get creamed.
The NFC playoff race looks like this. The Saints are the number one seed right now. The Rams shoot up to number two. The Packers, after blowing that game on the road in Indianapolis this week, falling to 7-3, are the third seed. The Eagles, believe it or not, are the fourth seed. People can complain and bitch and moan about that all they want, and we can have the discussion if you like. They need to get rid of that rule. I don't think they will. I think I don't think you have to overreact to things that happen once every 5 or 6 years, and that seems to be the case, unless I'm wrong.
Or once every 10 years.
Yeah, maybe once every 10 years. Yurko's right. I don't think you overreact to things like that. It's just one of those goofy years where the Eagles somehow are the fourth seed. You got to deal with it. The Seahawks are the 5 seed. The Bucks are the 6 seed. The Cardinals are the 7 seed. That's the line of demarcation right now. Will they add an 8th team? Maybe. That would do the Bears some good because they're the 8th seed right now, sort of in the hunt. Although none of us are buying the Chicago Bears, even the most optimistic Bears fan, I think, at this point realizes that there's no way this team can be taken seriously with this offense. The Vikings are the 9th seed. The Lions are the 10. We have said all year, Yurko, that the NFC appears to be pretty wide open. Maybe the Saints are distancing themselves a little bit, even with a backup quarterback, even though a lot of us think they should probably turn to Jameis Winston and not Taysom Hill. The Saints keep winning. The Saints have dangerous playmakers on offense. The Saints are playing pretty well on defense. They made the Falcons' offense look like the Bears' offense in the second half. I think the Falcons had negative yards in the second half the other day, Yurk, on Sunday. I think it was negative yards. That's a Bears' offensive performance. Are the Saints right now the best team in the NFC?
No, I still think you got a mishmash, Carm. I still think you've kind of got to trying to figure it out. And, you know, maybe if Breeze was there, you'd maybe be able to say it. I just think once they see Taysom Hill on film and you see a little bit more of him, then everybody else is going to catch up to him. I just think that's the way it's going to work. And, you know, at times Tampa looks great. The Rams look like they're unbeatable sometimes and they look awful. Seattle looked great early and now they've just kind of been a little bit of caca for a while. Like their last 4 games, they've been somewhat indifferent. And Green Bay... you know, we've seen them have that unimpressive performance against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their defense isn't as good as it was last year, and some question how good it was last year anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's still some question marks around the league. The quality of the receiver, has it gotten any better for the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, I mean,
you still have Devontae Adams.
Adams,
you've got a slew of tight ends that somehow catch a touchdown every once in a while. You've got other guys that have stepped up in a game or two, but nobody on a consistent level that's really established himself. So, you know, Green Bay's still a little bit of a mystery out there. So, yeah, nobody's still impressive. Again, I'd go 4 teams in the AFC before I'd list my first NFC team. Before I'd put New Orleans on the board, I think I'd have 4 AFC teams on my power rankings before I'd even think about another one from the NFC.
Regardless of what happens Sunday night, Bears win, Bears lose, I still think the Packers could be the scariest team in the NFC, but more because of what Yurko said. It does seem like a mishmash. I mean, like, what if a mishmash. Yeah, what if Breeze doesn't come back this year, you know? The Bucs have some warts big time, especially when they play the Saints. Are the Packers perfect? No, but they still have. I think they're scary because you still got the best quarterback in the conference, if you ask me. And you've got maybe the best receiver in football right now in Devontae Adams, who has played phenomenal. And as long as he doesn't get hurt, I mean, they could still be a scary team. But more so because what Yurk said, there's nobody that really has distanced themselves in the NFC, regardless, again, of what the Packers do on Sunday night. The Packers are a pretty heavy favorite against the Bears on Sunday night. I don't know what to expect from the Bears. I don't see this offense getting better, even if they go back to Mitch. I think people have conveniently forgot that the Bears were dreadful offensively last year when Mitch Trubisky played 15 games. People have seemingly forgotten that. And I can't defend Nick Foles. Nick Foles has been terrible. We knew Nick Foles was not much of an answer or a relief pitcher because he's not very good. We said that maybe 1,000,001 times throughout the spring and summer after they traded for Nick Foles to acquire him. Nobody ever propped Nick Foles up to be the second coming of Tom Brady. I know Cap has said that a few times. Didn't happen. Didn't happen on this show. Didn't happen in any Bears circle I know of. It didn't happen. Nick Foles is no good. Mitch Trubisky's no good either. And I think people have very conveniently forgotten that they were dreadful offensively last year with Mitch Trubisky. So whatever they do, does it really matter? Is this offense really going to get better?
The answer is no. The answer is no. Not behind this offensive line. I don't think either quarterback has a chance of really being successful. But Trubisky does have a chance to evade the rush better than Nick Foles does. You know what I'm saying? Nick Foles lacks mobility. He lacks burst. He lacks athleticism. you know, he lacks any escapability whatsoever from a rush that's coming at. His favorite position back there when facing the rush is the fetal position.
Curl up in a ball.
Yeah, curl up in a ball and hit the ground and pray to the heavens he doesn't get hurt when he's not landing on his ass and pretending like his hip was hurt. Okay, that's the best thing you've got out of him. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. Your defense is going to have to step up and carry you once again. And if the defense starts to get frustrated because it's three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out, then you'll watch it where you're competitive, 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 competitive. The bug game gets away from you. And then the next thing you know, the time's off the clock and you've lost a game where your offense was absolutely pitiful.
All right,
pitiful.
Bears
fans. That's it.
Does it matter? Will anything change? And I'm not talking about a one-off either. I mean, oh, look, they won Sunday night in Green Bay. Mitch played great. I mean, I'm talking about really change how this franchise plays offense. Can they be better? Can they be a serious, legitimate threat? And not just in a one-off game, but for many, many games. Can they string it together? I don't see it getting better despite the quarterback under center. 312-332-3776. Let us know your thoughts. We'll play you Matt Nagy's sound from yesterday coming up next. Which direction does he lean? We'll play that for you when we return.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Sunday Night Football in Green Bay, Bears and Packers. Who's going to be under center? Could be the healthier quarterback, could be the quarterback that maybe gives them a better chance behind a dreadful offensive line. That might be Mitch Trubisky. Who the hell knows? This all makes Matt Nagy look terrible. He wanted Nick Foles. He thought the offense would be better. He made, look, a relatively quick change to Mitch Trubisky. As bad as he was, and had it not been for COVID, probably never even starts the year, but still. In that third game of the year where he decided at halftime he had seen enough and he went to Nick Foles, and it's just slowly but surely gone downhill since. So it's all bad. This was Matt Nagy yesterday when asked, which direction are you leaning for Sunday night?
Yeah, I would say this. So, again, with both of these guys, with where they're at and their injuries, that's what we're kind of working through right now to see exactly where they're at. So the good thing for us coming off the bye is it happened over the bye for Nick, and now we're able to kind of day by day just see where he's at. We're going through and just trying to figure out, okay, health-wise, where they're at. And then also us, too, like coming through the bye, like I said, us evaluating where we're at as a team, as an offense, all of that is on the table. So we've had the ability to get away for a little bit, us as coaches, and do what we need to do individually away from the building or some of us at the building. But for the most part, you know, we're just going to kind of get till Wednesday and just see exactly where both these guys are at in the quarterback position wise.
I did some evaluating of where they're at, Yurko, coming out of the bye. I'll tell you where they're at. Yeah. The Chicago Bears over the last year and a half have been one of the three worst offenses in football, period, end of story.
And the team's taking on water.
Yes.
They're taking on water, and pretty soon it's going to be a mathematical certainty that it's going to sink. And that's where they're at. If they don't stop, they don't plug a couple of holes, they don't figure out how to fix things, they certainly will sink to the bottom of the NFC, and they will not make the playoffs, and it'll be another miserable year under the helm of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. That's where it's heading. That's unfortunately where you're going, and it doesn't make a difference. If something happens to go wrong with anything with this Bears team, there is no amount of recovery. There's no amount of, hey, we'll just plug and play and we'll go ahead and we'll just find a way to get it done. Other teams can do it. This Bears team, any type of injury whatsoever becomes catastrophic right away.
Yeah. It's brutal. You're right. The Ringer, ringer.com did a good story about the Joe Burrow injury, Yurk. And, you know, the point of the story was that, you know, the Bengals put themselves and put their franchise quarterback in a dangerous position, really based upon how they constructed their offensive line. I mean, their O-line has been arguably as bad as the Bears. Didn't prevent them from gaining 200 yards on the ground one game. You know, the Bears can't figure out a way to do that, but I digress. But it's been a bad line, especially it's really struggled to protect Joe Burrow most of the year. Some of that's probably on the rookie quarterback, I would imagine, Yerk. I think a lot of times you see rookie quarterbacks get sacked a lot, right, just because they're still kind of learning.
Right, they're, you know, it's still a little bit of a delay in their brain. You give it to them their first year.
Right.
And you expect them to get rid of that second year. Yeah, there's still just a little bit too much thinking going on back there instead of reacting.
But by and large, I mean, most objective observers would be able to watch a little bit and say, yeah, that line's not very good. They haven't been good at protecting him. And the basic point of the story is that the line was constructed poorly. I mean, there's really, I think they make the point, Yerk, that there's only one guy that, a top 10 pick was used to select, and he's their best player, their left tackle. Other than that, they've sort of piecemealed it together. You know, they've got a late first rounder that's turned out to be a bust, and some sixth rounders and seventh rounders and undrafted free agent. And it sounds like the Bears offensive line.
Well, I mean, that's the way you've got to do it. Some guys respond. You know, I went back over the Packers, and I went across the one time. Then, I looked at Tauscher where he was picked. Mm-hmm. Then they had another guy playing. You know, Bulaga was a first round. You go back and you look at it over the course of time, somebody's going to have to hit for you as a free agent.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's got to come in and be able to play. The Bears did it with Jay Hilgenberg. You know, they did it with Bortz in the eighth round. He'd be a free agent now.
Right.
You know, they found guys later on in the draft, and they became productive players. You've got to be able to do that with your offensive line. I've seen people draft defensive linemen like they did with Bortz, convert him to offensive line because they could see, all right, he's got the tenacity, he has this certain quality, and we're going to take that, we're going to switch it, we're going to put it on the offensive side of the ball, and we think we're going to be pretty good. Cecil Gray did it. There are other players that have done it. Played tight end, switched to the offensive line. Andy Heck was a tight end early on in his college career.
Yeah.
Switched over to the offensive line, became an offensive lineman. So it's been done before. When you've got people that can see talent, you've got people that can see a certain set of skills. You got people that can maybe see another guy at a different position. Then you're in good shape. But when you've got scouts and you've got guys that don't know, you've just brought them in and you've taught them what you think you know, nothing. You've got to find guys that have seen, certain things in the past and could identify, hey, with that skill set, we think he could do this.
And if you have a shoddy offensive line, you run the risk of getting your franchise quarterback injured in his first year, tore up his knee pretty badly, ACL, MCL. He's going to be out for probably about a full year. Or if you have a shoddy offensive line, you bring in your handpicked quarterback who, as Yerko described, is completely immobile and is slow of foot, and he makes your offense even worse because he can't escape any sort of pressure, and your O-line stinks. I mean, when you don't have those blocks of granite that Yerko likes to talk about, you're in trouble. When they're blocks of cream cheese instead of blocks of granite, you're probably good. In trouble.
Yeah.
Merck, we got some calls.
Hi, Carm. How you doing?
How are you, pal?
Welcome aboard, kid.
Hey, Yerk, by the way, that was a nice video. You feathered a driver 167 yards at Pinehurst.
Did you like that? Yeah, number 17 at Pinehurst. Yeah. It was a little bit too long for me. It was late in the day. I'd walked the whole course. I'd walked 36 the previous day. Didn't have the legs. Didn't feel the hips. Was starting to tighten up. I said, you know what this calls for? The old feathered driver. And I put it 12 feet past the pin.
That's all hands, right?
Well, it's all hands at that point because everything's gone. So you turn a little, and boom. I got to get it to the hole, right? You got to know your game. I had some guy making fun of me on Twitter. And that's kind of it because I kind of want to make fun of myself a little bit too.
Sure.
But you got to know your game. And at that point, I knew exactly what that called for. And it
did
called
you par
for
the hole?
Driver. Of course I parred.
Well,
I missed the birdie putt.
How do you make fun of you? You parred the hole.
Listen, like I said, know your game. Some guys can hit pitching wedge that far. I'm not DeChambeau or Koepka. I am is John Yurkovich.
Yeah. Did I find a way to traverse my way across the golf course?
What's that?
You were wearing short. I mean, you said socks, right? You weren't wearing golf shoes there.
I took the golf shoes off and I just wore socks in. Yeah, I finished 18 that way too.
That's okay.
Was that the Payne Stewart statue?
Is that actually like Pinehurst number two? Pinehurst number two, York.
That is the one? Pinehurst number two.
Wow, it's that's the famous one.
Oh,
that's the 17th. Okay,
it's the one they play the U.S. Open on. Carl.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. I wasn't sure because I know they got a lot of courses there, and you guys played some of the other courses.
They got nine of them to be exact.
That's awesome.
And they've got like 15 other courses within a 10-mile radius.
All right, Carl, we can start with Mike in Hoffman Estates.
Hey, Mikey, what's up?
Hey, guys. So, Yerk, I wanted you to just kind of elaborate on the four AFC teams
I know it's kind of a general statement, but I feel like you're giving some bias to the AFC, and especially to the Packers with that game against Jacksonville, because I feel like every great team, even the 10-0 Pittsburgh Steelers, had a struggle match against the Cowboys. Yeah. And even the Chiefs have been in some close games with the Chargers. Right. I understand that was at the beginning of the year, but they just had they didn't have too strong of a performance against the Jets. So I feel like every year everyone bashes Green Bay specifically, and I feel like they are right there at the NFC Championship every year. And I really feel like the Saints and the Packers are pretty strong in the NFC for the Super Bowl run, really.
All right, well, Mike. Just because I say it's wide open doesn't mean I'm taking anything away from the Packers. But this is what I'm talking about specifically. Davante Adams is your number one receiver in 8 games. So they're a one receiver concentrated team.
Yeah.
Their next highest guy catching passes, you go to the running back position, and then that's where you find Aaron Jones with 32, Jamal Williams with 27. So they're catching balls, and if you put the third running back in there, he's got 11 receptions, Tyler Irvin. So you're number one wide receiver is your premier wide receiver. Your running back is your second wide receiver. Your tight end is your third wide receiver. Then you go to your second wide receiver being the next guy in line. And at that point, he's number four. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the options for Aaron Rodgers have become Davante Adams, my running back, my tight end. 1, 2, 3. That's the order. The second wide receiver is hardly ever a focus unless Davante Adams is hurt. Now they reshuffle the lineup, and your guy becomes number one. Then he becomes the primary target again. So your weapons at the wide receiver position are still limited. It's Davante Adams and really nobody. And then running back to, you know, just kind of flip off to the running back or to the tight end.
Yeah, I mean,
so you don't have a primary second wide receiver yet. Still.
Marquez Scantling, I guess, is that guy, and sometimes does make big plays. Then he fumbles in a costly
2.5 receptions a game. Carm, who's making hay with 2.5 receptions?
Nah,
a game?
I mean, that's true. I can't argue with that. You're right.
It's your second leading wide receiver. He's got 2.5 receptions a game.
It's almost like Tanyan is, you know, and I think you were talking about that with their tight ends. Like it's almost like Tanyan's the guy that he looks for more than anybody else if he's not throwing to Davante Adams at field.
Right,
and
listen, all it is an observation. You know, I'm sure the Packers would love to have a second wide receiver that steps up as much as Davante Adams does. I'm sure they'd like to have it. They don't right now.
Yeah.
So they're trying to do it the way they have to do it because they don't have that. And the running back and the tight end have become bigger and played bigger roles in it instead of having a second threat. You know, when the Cowboys were unbeatable, what'd they have? They had Alvin Harper, they had Michael Irvin, and they had Jay Novacek that they can go to with the running back. And they've got formidable running backs. Nobody's saying anything wrong with Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams. They've got running backs. They've got tight ends that he has confidence in. Okay, but you don't have the second stud wide receiver. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that could come back to hurt you. That's all. It's a critique. You run around the league, you can poke holes in teams.
And almost all teams.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to win. But I'm poking holes in teams and telling you that's where their weakness is, and that's all.
The biggest indictment on Scantling, too, is probably the 49% catch percentage. That is not good. I mean, and it's no wonder why maybe Aaron Rodgers goes away from him more often than he looks for him. You can't just go through. I mean, 49%, that's terrible. You got to at least be somewhere
and the guy that
60%.
He was the guy that he was comfortable with and the guy that he liked was Lazard.
Yeah.
And Lazard got hurt.
All right, we got to take a quick break. 312-332-3776. That's the number. Carmen and Yurko, we're coming right back.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Coming up just after 11, Yurko's got details on something fun for Bears-Packers week, rivalry week, Thanksgiving week. He'll explain that. He's got some good stuff on his Instagram, too. Make sure you follow both of us on the gram at Yurkovich John on Instagram for the good kid. I'm at Carmen DeFalco 5. That's the number 5 on the gram. Let's go to... also, just after 11, Yurko is going to walk us through the art of the audible. Let's go to George in Lombard. George, what's up, man?
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you both, gentlemen.
You too, George.
Hey, just two quick things. Hey, Yerk, I know you're a fan of wild turkey. Did you ever try the wild turkey American honey? It's the elixir of the gods.
It's good.
I have not, but I will.
George, I usually don't like those kind of like tripped up cordials and stuff like that.
Right.
But it is pretty good. I got to admit that wild turkey honey. Yeah, I mean it's only like 60 proof. It's much lower proof, but they got honey in there. It's very like after dinner. It's a really nice little digestive. There's no doubt.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But the main reason I called, I wanted to give a compliment to Yerk. I got to tell you, Yerk, listening to you talk about football, I absolutely love it. I could listen to you all day long.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
it, George.
That.
I could too. I concur with George. Listening to Yerk talk football is Yerk and Waddle do it well. I mean, you got two guys that played in the league. Yerko played 100-something games in the NFL, for crying out loud.
12 playoff games, Carm.
12 playoff games. You truly are an expert.
I like to think I am, Carm.
Well, you are. When it comes to football, you're truly an expert.
I also don't think there's an absolute right and an absolute wrong because, you know, I've been in many different systems and I've seen many different systems. There's a place for everything, you know, but then it's a time and a place. And is it the right time or the place to introduce a play or not introduce a play? And when something is catastrophically wrong, like you run an offensive play and it's just an absolute bust, doesn't mean it's a horrific play. Mm-hmm. I mean, that time it was. But nobody designs a play thinking, oh, man, I can't wait to lose 7 yards on that play. You know, everybody comes in with the best intentions for things to go correct. And then sometimes it just hits and it looks like you're an absolute genius. And sometimes the play shouldn't go for anything, but because you've got human beings out on the field and somebody can make somebody miss, now all of a sudden it looks like a great play when it should have been stopped for no gain.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beauty of football. That's the wonderful aspect of it. Coaches can design everything they want to design, and then somebody makes a play, and somebody does something fantastic, and boom, the next thing you know, the team's successful, another team isn't, and it's just because that's the beauty of football.
Yerko and Waddle, break it down and explain it better than most. That's why we love them. George, have a happy Thanksgiving. Let's go to Keith in Evergreen Park on the southwest side. What's up, Keith?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I wanted to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving for y'all and your family. Be safe. And
you too.
I want to thank you guys for bringing up a little bit of Joe Burrow. I'm a diehard Bengals fan here in Chicago for years and years, and I'm well-known. I represent my team every day, year-round, and we always wear black and orange, man. But I want you to know I appreciate what you guys said, and I was trying all day, man. I can't sleep. My Thanksgiving's pretty much ruined, man. I mean, I know my season's over, but the thing is this, I just can't sit back and watch a game being 5 hours away from a stadium I love. And have coaches throwing guys into the cobra, you know, right into the snake pit when he should have been sitting on the bench for a year, building up a line and building up a team. And I know Heisman or not, now I have a quarterback, which I could pretty much accept that waste of pick, never be the same again. It's Carson Palmer and maybe worse all over again.
I disagree. Disagree respectfully.
Keith, thank you. Do you disagree, Rick, that he should not? I think I know where you're going. I'm with you. You think he should have been starting, right?
Listen, if you're good enough to start, you're good enough to play. It's unfortunate, you know, in the NFL that there's injuries like this, but they are there. You play. You're in the arena. Sometimes bad things happen to you. I had a torn ACL, MCL, obliquar muscular damage, and a frayed patella tendon. So, you know, bone chips throughout my knee that they tried to clean all up, but there's still some bone chips in there. I had a catastrophic injury. I played another 12 years of football on it. Okay? It was a big knee injury. I played another 12 years of football on it. Joe Burrow is not done.
He'll be good.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's not done. Carson Wentz wasn't done, though he looks a little done now. Wow, I don't know if he and Doug Peterson can capture the magic. And the one thing I want to tell our big Cincinnati Bengal fans, the Green Bay Packers thank you every single day. The Cincinnati Bengals, and Tim Crumry specifically, when he hurt Don Majkowski and twisted his ankle, that started the Brett Favre era.
There you go. Yurko's got details on something fun for Bears-Packers week. You're not going to want to miss that coming up next. We got a fun promotion running this week. And then Yurko walks us through the art of the audible. We'll be back in 2 minutes.